Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Perkin Simpson. He is the CEO of Operation Fuel. We talk with the group every year right around now because it's definitely a concern with the cost of heating and other utilities as well, that are making things difficult for residents across Connecticut, and they're just one group that's able to offer a bit of a lifeline and a helping hand to people who are in need. We're going to dig into all of that as we go through the hour. Perkin, welcome. As we go through the half hour here, Perkin, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Morgan. It's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for the invitation to speak with you.
It's been a while since we've talked and have done an update. And I'm just curious if you could just start off with an overview of where Operation Fuel is at this point in time, at the beginning of 2025, especially at a time when the legislature is really having a large debate and discussion right now about what to do with energy rates in Connecticut. So there's a lot going on here. Where's your group at this point in time?
Sure. I know energy has been at the forefront of many conversations. Where we are at Operation Fuel is we are still continuing to work and be able to position ourselves to help meet needs. You mentioned in terms of creating a ray of hope, you know, we view our mission here as not just covering heating and fuel and water costs, but it's about providing more of a safety net for individuals in need. I think about the maybe an older citizen who we don't want them to get left out in the cold. They may have medical equipment, oxygen tanks, and different things like that that are reliant on some of the utilities that are provided, or the student who needs access to certain things, and just, you know, basic human needs, access to heat, water, electricity. Those things are basic. So we are not always in control of the debate that is outside of the organization, but for us, we will continue to maintain our mission and help those in need.
At times through the year, the assistance is available, and coming up on Monday, January 27th, 2025, it is the opening of the 2025 Winter Energy Assistance Program. Let's dig into that for a little bit. What does that mean, and what will be available starting Monday?
Sure thing. Starting Monday, we are opening up our winter season, which means there'll be access for heat and for electrical customers, those who are behind, those who fall within income guidelines, and the availability to help those who may face arrears, who may be in a position where their heat or their electricity is in danger of being cut off. So those are the individuals who we hope to help. Or water assistance programs continue year-round. So in addition to the energy assistance program, our partners who have accounts at Aquarian, Connecticut Water, and NDC, depending on where they are, they're also eligible to contact us for assistance as well.
What are some ways that people can get in touch with your team as we continue to dig through this? We'll talk a little bit more about what the program means and how it's all available to people. But at this point in time, could you just give people an overview how they can reach out to Operation Fuel?
Sure. We have actually updated our platform. I appreciate that question, Morgan. The best and easiest way to reach out for assistance is through our website. And the website address is www.operationfuel.org/get help. So www.operationfuel.org/get help. The application process is fairly straightforward, and there's some guidelines that also allow individuals, who may need assistance filling out the form. Those resources are there too. So that is going to be the easiest way. I will mention that the season does open on the 27th, and it's going to be available until the assistance funds for this period runs out. So I urge all of anyone in need at this time to try to get in contact with us through our website as soon as possible.
What does that mean for people who might need assistance a little further on down the line? Because I know that every year it does vary that length of time that the funding is available. Do you have any idea how long you're anticipating this might last, or is there no way to tell at this point in time?
Another good question, Morgan. It's sometimes hard to tell. Before my tenure, I've been with Operation Fuel myself for a little over 4 months. And in the past, we've had seasons that used to go on for at least 6 months. And in those times, we would have two seasons per year. And we call them seasons. Those are application periods that are open. Our last energy assistance was in September. That stayed open for 3 weeks. Over 2,500 applications came in, and we were able to help out about 1,800 people. We had tried to reserve to have about twice as much, so we're anticipating that this season across our platforms, we should have capacity to assist approximately 4,000 families, but that's also hard to measure. So in the wintertime, given the cold, everyone has experienced even last week where the temperatures have dropped. So we do anticipate a busier season. And, it's impossible to guesstimate, but I can probably say with assurance it's not going to last 6 months. It probably may last another, 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the level of interest and the level of need.
Well, I'm glad I mentioned that then, because it is important for people to get in line as soon as possible. Perkins Simpson is my guest this morning on Face Connecticut. We're having a conversation about their upcoming Winter Energy Assistance Program. It starts Monday, the 27th. He's the CEO of Operation Fuel. You know, Perkin, I'm remembering some conversations I had with someone who was there before you, Brenda Watson, a number of years ago. And at that point in time, 2021, 2022, somewhere around that point in time, there were concerns that the need for energy assistance in Connecticut was growing. Have the trends been pointing in that direction?
Yes, the trends have been pointing. Your question about the need for assistance growing. What we found at a very high level is that the number of individuals in need has grown slightly, but the amount of arrearage, meaning the amount that people owe as a total, that has grown significantly. One of the things that we hope to do along that lines is over the next year explore some of the data that we're able to collect to provide even more insight into that area in terms of where the impact, where the need is. But yes, it does hold true at a high level. And that really just underscores the importance of what we do and the importance of, reaching out to the community and making sure that more resources are available.
Based on what you guys have researched and looked at thus far, what are some of the factors that result in somebody needing this kind of assistance and on a growing basis? Okay, so if the number was stable before and it seems to be increasing now, what are reasons for that increase?
Well, there are several reasons. I mean, they're coming to the forefront when we look at different areas and different demographics. I first think about our elderly citizens who may be on a fixed income. It does tie into the inflation conversation, where if costs go up and your income is the same, you're in a position where you have to pick and choose which bill do you pay, which bill don't you pay. And I think even that scenario crosses to the rest of our community when individuals are facing higher costs and limited dollars. And it does come down to economics on a large part. You know, what we find, too, is that it is not isolated to any particular area. We find across the board, whether it be in our urban communities or in the suburb, individuals need have needs, and they face very similar situations. So it is growing. I think it's part of the larger conversation around economics and the fact that, you know, the each dollar doesn't go as far as it did last year or 10 years ago or even a few decades ago.
Perkins Simpson is my guest on Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Happy to be talking with him about everything going on at Operation Fuel at this point in time. You know, Perkin, I want to draw on the fact that you mentioned that you're hoping that funding will last several weeks, 3-4 weeks maybe. The ability, hopefully, in your reserves to help 4,000 families with the Winter Energy Assistance Program coming up. But here's a good question. Let's talk a little bit about funding, because it's important that you guys continue to receive funding and assistance in order to offer this kind of assistance to others in need. How does that effort look for your team throughout the year?
Sure. There are a variety of sources for funding. For example, if you have an Eversource bill or another partner, you might look and you'll see that, hey, there's an opportunity to give a dollar or two or three or whatever is you're able to do to help those in need. So that is a source. We also rely on generous contributions from those who are able to give. So if you're able to go to operationfuel.org and you hit the donate button, just know that that support is very instrumental in meeting needs. And also, too, there are buckets of support that come from the decisions from our legislative body. So, you know, with the whole conversation about the public benefits charge, I do want everyone to know that we only get a very small portion of that at Operation Fuel. Actually, the amount that is contributed to our efforts to meet needs amounts to about 15 or 16 cents per household per month. So that's less than $2 a year. So unfortunately, it gets conflated with the entire charge, but also just letting your viewers, your listeners, know that the assistance portion is very, very small. And, you know, recognizing that fact and separating it from the larger discussion that seems to be happening, at least correcting that record. So we'll let the legislators, we'll let the individuals who advocate for energy assistance. We don't always control that portion, but where we can get assistance is for those who have it in heart. We might know people who are struggling, and we are here to provide relief for them. So if they're able to donate, please do. And if you're able to look on your energy bill and see donate a dollar or two to Operation Fuel, please do as well.
You mentioned the legislature, Perkin, this year, and talk about the energy bills that are being discussed and the public benefits portion of that bill. And the question, you know, do we continue to require taxpayers to pay it? Do we use surplus money to pay it? All of these kinds of different aspects are being debated at this point in time. This must be an issue you're following very closely.
We do follow it. I mean, at this point, it's early in the legislative season, so at this, I really just am really more of an observer. We are anxious and eager to see how the conversations go, and I know that we have great leaders in the state of Connecticut who want to help individuals in need. So, you know, part of that might be a little bit above my pay grade at this point. I'll continue to monitor it, but it is a very important discussion. And, you know, I just want to reiterate that with all the charges and the different things, the portion when you segregate what's used for assistance is very, very low. So it's, it seems to drive the discussion when it's really, I would say, less than even a fraction of a percentage point that goes to assistance. So assistance is definitely needed, and I just encourage all of those who are out there who want to ensure that people aren't left out in the cold, you know, contact their legislators and just make sure that that type of assistance still continues.
I also want to bring up homelessness, which is another issue getting a lot of debate this time around, and warming shelters and warming centers. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's also on your radar as maybe something that can help ease the burden, if you will, with Operation Fuel's ability to help other people who are maybe at risk, but they're not at that level at this point in time?
Correct. That's a very good question, too, as well, Morgan. With homelessness, it is a subject that I personally hold near and dear. Right now, you know, some of the energy bills are tied to if a renter doesn't pay a certain bill, they might be kicked out. So there is some connection with individuals who may fall into that situation where our assistance may make the difference between them being, you know, still in their homes or out in the street. And when it comes to increasing the emphasis on homelessness, it is something that I want to do and expand in terms of outreach and being proactive about addressing that community as time goes on. So our work does help with the homeless situation as described. There's always more that can be done, and we're going to be looking closely with what more we can do with that space, because it is also a growing problem in the state.
Perkins Simpson is my guest this morning on Face Connecticut. We're continuing our conversation about Operation Fuel, and I'd like to change gears here a little bit, Perkin. We've been talking a lot about electricity, and if we haven't been talking about it directly, we've been talking about it indirectly with all of the talk about the legislature. But, you know, that is definitely a critical component of what you do at Operation Fuel, because many people have electric heating, or they use electricity for a component of heating in their homes or their residences. But I also want to talk with you a little bit about water. You had hinted earlier in the program just slightly about what your team does for water utility bills, but I'd like to dig into that a little bit more, because I think that that's something that people may not necessarily think of at the forefront. They think about electricity, but water rates are also a concern.
That is correct, and we do have water assistance programs for our partners at Aquarian, Connecticut Water, with MDC. For individuals who are having trouble maintaining even their water bills, I urge two things. We do have our program here, and, you know, depending on the water provider that you have, the income levels for qualification go from 60% of the state SMI, or the state monthly income, up to 75%. So, you know, it does enable many people to qualify, and that assistance can be anywhere from $250 up to $500, depending on the partner. So contact us, the same channel, in terms of the application process, operationfuel.org/get help. I would also encourage individuals to contact their water providers directly, because there are some discount programs, and there are also some payment programs for those who need assistance in those areas as well. And they're often and available and willing to help, but sometimes it may not be as public knowledge. So contact the your water providers if you are in a position where you need help. And also feel free to reach out to us, and we'll try to also assist with our water assistance programs as well.
The heating assistance is available at least once a year, twice a year maybe, and the water assistance is available through Operation Fuel year-round. Could you explain the difference there?
Sure. The advent of the heating assistance program, there would be two seasons, one every 6 months, and that was initially when the seasons would last about 6 months. So essentially the program was created to be year-round, but need and demand and the realities that people face have shortened those seasons. The water is facing a very similar situation. It is something that it starts at the beginning of the year. It also is subject to funding running out. The demand for fuel and gas is a little higher versus water assistance. So I do anticipate that, you know, those in need of water assistance, the season does continue and open a little longer. It is intended to last for the year, but I, even looking ahead for 2025, you know, I'm not a gambling man, but there may be a situation where that funding may not last throughout the entire year.
So in other words, it would be similar to the heating assistance availability. Maybe.
Yeah, Morgan, you're right. It's trending in that area, but not as drastic at this point.
I see. So are there any things that you guys are currently hoping for to come out of the legislative session, or efforts that you're trying to develop more? Maybe you need more volunteers in an effort to get more funding so that it does not end up trending in that direction.
Sure. There are a couple of things that I'd love, you know, for the community, your listeners and beyond to understand and also to appreciate is that part of the conversation about costs, deal with unrecoverables, deal with people's and their balances. And part of that is due to sometimes if you have a high bill and you see it and it's hard to maintain, that's a difficulty. I hope to hopefully get more data on this, but I would love for our assistance to be viewed as an investment, because as we help individuals, those past due balances, those arrearages or unrecoverables, whatever they're called, those fall into the charges that you hear and the considerations that legislators face. And if they're, if our assistance is something that truly indeed helps reduce some of that, you know, I want to, and we will be trying to explore that more, but it also helps out the system in terms of reducing the overall costs. That's what I anticipate or hope to see when we're able to delve through the numbers. So looking at assistance not just as a handout, but also to that it's an investment that can actually help the system over time. That's one. And then also look at it beyond just the bill itself. And I mentioned earlier about people's lives. You know, if you don't have water, if you don't have heat, if you don't have electricity, it's not just what's on the paper. It's about the child who needs to do their homework. It's about even in the situation right now where we have hybrid individuals who have hybrid schedules, it affects those individuals if they're not able to connect. You know, if there are medical equipment and different things like that that people have, it's there. If you think about the bitter cold, you know, imagine not having heat in the past week when the temperatures were at zero or below zero. So we're talking about more than people's lives. And again, the relative cost, you know, if I was to say for everyone that, hey, if 15 cents each month for each household in Connecticut can help thousands, would you join us? Would you join us in ensuring that that continues? You know, that is my message, because we are dealing with lives. We're dealing with individuals and needs, and it's not just dollars alone. And a lot of these families, half of the individuals that we helped out or were able to provide assistance last were homeowners, working families. And it just underscores the reality that this affects everyone. And, you know, roughly about a third of those who we help are elderly citizens. You know, so in addition to those working families, a large percentage of individuals are doing what they can. And they just need help sometimes to get on their feet. And we hope to continue to provide some rays of hope. And, you know, hopefully that will be part of the discussion as the legislators and as our leaders explore how to help and the best way to help.
Perkin, thank you so much for coming on Face Connecticut and spreading word with us this morning on WTIC. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Morgan, and thank you again for the invitation and the chance to speak about this very important subject.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.